What's going on, everybody? I'm Steve, and welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. Once again, I am Steve, and Alex is not with us tonight. However, when this man is allowed to go back to movie theaters, you better not be the one that takes the last box of Red Vines. And I swear to God, if you get between him and his Sour Patch Kids, he will dump his entire liter of Mr. Pibb on your head. I'm talking about my co-host, Cisco Kid.
Yo, no butter on my popcorn.
No butter on your popcorn. Cisco, buddy, another week. We're here. We made it. This is our last show of the Midnight Movie Club month. It's all about let's go to the movies. How are you, pal?
I'm doing good, man. What did I watch? I can't remember if I said this or not, but I started a MCU rewatch.
Okay.
Watched Iron Man and Incredible Hulk. So I'm watching them in release order.
Right.
Watched Iron Man and Incredible Hulk.
I think we did talk about this.
I can't remember if I did on the show.
All right, but where are you at in your rewatch this week?
I just watched Iron Man 2.
Holds up, doesn't it?
Not a fan of Iron Man 2.
Is that the one with Sam Rockwell?
It's the one with Sam Rockwell, who's great in it. Sam Rockwell's good in it. I just think that Mickey Rourke is bad in it. And man,
that was a moment. That was a moment in time. The Mickey Rourke, like,
let me tell you.
Come back. That was short-lived.
The amount of money they spent on highlights for Robert Downey Jr. and Mickey Rourke had to be in the hundreds of thousands. Because those two dudes were full-on highlighted up, that hair. Crazy. And I don't think that Don Cheadle really... You know, it's jarring to see him in the movie that first time. And he doesn't kind of get into the role of Rhodey.
He doesn't make it his own.
Until about Civil War, maybe?
I agree.
Yeah. Then once he gets to that point, then he's Rhodey. But in this movie, he feels a little out of place.
I could not see Terrence Howard as that character today.
Me either. I don't think that he would have been good. And there's something about Don Cheadle in this movie that feels weird. But that movie just doesn't hold up for me. It's not bad. It's not terrible. It's just not great. And the only thing that I don't like about the Incredible Hulk movie is the actual CGI Hulk. It looks so bad compared to what we have now. You know, I think Ed Norton's good in the movie.
Oh, I think he's great.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think Norton's really good. You can tell with Norton in that movie that he's very involved in every movie he does to a
right.
Sometimes to a fault. But he's giving it his all.
Yep.
You know, he's there. He's doing the work. I appreciate that because it's very easy to do these movies and not do the work.
I'm not going to miss Liv Tyler. She's not great. There's no knock against her as an actress.
Was it Jennifer Connelly as her in the Ang Lee one with Eric Bana?
Yeah, which to be honest with you, I don't even remember. I can't even remember it. Okay. I might not.
You don't remember Nick Nolte and the Pink Poodles? And
no, I remember the movie a little bit, and I know Jennifer Connelly is in it. I just don't remember anything about that movie at all, okay. Which is why I think everybody just kind of erased it from their memory.
What else did you watch?
What else did I watch? We got a new TV.
Tell them what you got, Cisco. Tell them it's sexy. We all know it's sexy. Come on.
We got the LG OLED CX, and we installed it this weekend, hung it up on the wall, and I watched a little bit of Endgame, and I watched a little bit of Into the Spider-Verse just to see it in that 4K beauty.
Did you make sure to properly calibrate and turn off motion smoothing? And
turned all that off.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Yep. Oh,
they call
yeah.
it True Motion.
True Motion now. Yeah, they try to, yeah. Now that everyone's getting hip to it, they're changing the name.
Yeah, I turned that trash off. I upgraded my Netflix account to the 4K UHD.
Yeah, you did. And now when you put on Disney Plus and you get that little Dolby symbol in the top corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am 2 episodes into Cobra Kai season 3.
Okay.
I really like it so far. Oh man, I'm super into it.
You like High School Musical karate offs?
Well, I mean, it's not that yet. You know, right now it's just the first 2 episodes are them trying to find Robbie.
Well, the second season ends with the big fight. Karate. I keep calling it a dance off, but the karate off.
That was really good. I love that. I actually really like it. And you know, I can't remember if I've ever said this on the show. I've said this with my friends, is that I don't think the fight choreography is very good in the show as in general. It's like, it's fine.
They step it up in the third, because there's a lot of fighting in the third.
I can imagine so. And I think, you know, they've gotten to a point where the actors have probably had more training. So it's going to keep getting better. But in the first 2 seasons, I feel like it's just kind of like
wooden.
A little bit.
Stiff.
I think
doesn't flow.
Miguel is really good.
Right.
He's excellent. Right.
I think Robbie's the best one out of all of them.
Robbie's good too. I think, what's Daniel's daughter's name?
She's terrible.
She's not so good. Hawk isn't very good.
He's terrible.
But you know, that being said,
Ralph Macchio's terrible.
Ralph Macchio's terrible. And I think,
by the way, I love the show. I love the show.
I do too. And warts being and critical all. Being critical of this aspect of it isn't that bad. Like here's a perfect example. The fight choreography in Iron Fist is so trash.
Oh, everyone's dumping on Iron Fist today.
Oh, who else?
Well, we were going to get into it in the news.
Okay, we'll get into it. But the fight choreography in Iron Fist is so bad, and Finn Jones is so terrible in that show that it's like there's nothing redeemable about that show, in my opinion. It's just bad all the way around. And him in Defenders is really bad too. So, you know, that makes that show really hard to watch. I've never said that about Cobra Kai. It's very fun to watch. It's super entertaining.
It's very easy to watch.
Yeah. And this little criticism of the fight choreography being like meh for me in the first 2 seasons isn't like a deal breaker by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
And I am so, so enjoying the first 2 episodes. Like the whole like episode where Daniel and Johnny are roaming around, you know, doing their Tango and Cash thing is really funny. I thought that was great. So that being said, I'm so stoked. I love Miguel. I can't wait to see more of him. I hope he gets up and fights and kicks somebody's ass eventually.
Oh, I mean, don't worry. He's gonna get there. Don't you worry. Great. What did I do this week? I'm doing something like I told you earlier today, because Criterion had their like a big sale again, a little flash sale they do every now and again. And this last week, I've been really debating about getting the Criterion collection, because you know that conversation we had about Martin Scorsese and sort of, you know, his feelings on cinema and whatnot, and just a lot of the articles I've been reading with Edgar Wright and that podcast I mentioned for the Empire podcast with Tarantino, and again Scorsese recommending like his favorite 50 British films and stuff. It's like, you know, I took a lot of film classes in junior college, mind you, and I like to think of myself as a, I don't want to call myself a cinephile, but I like to think that I love movies, and I, mm-hmm. you know, but at the same time, I don't think I have, I've seen Fellini's 8.5, but I don't remember it, you know? So there's a lot of movies and stuff that I'm now in the mood to go back, and I'm considering getting the Criterion, channel and just seeing a title and pushing play and putting my phone under a pillow or in another room or something and just watching stuff and just exposing myself. And I was talking to Amber about it and she's totally down. So yeah. I think that might happen. I've been reading a book, that I started last week that is, it's about the 5 best picture nominees of 1967, I believe. It's called Pictures at a Revolution, Five Movies and the Birth of the New Hollywood. It's written by Mark Harris. It came out in 2008, but you know the book, Peter Biskind's book, Easy Rider, Raging Bulls?
I've heard about it. I've never read it.
So it's a great book, but it's all about sort of his, I think it's Peter Biskind or is it Peter Travers? I don't remember. Anyways, it's a book that's all about sort of the changing of the guard in Hollywood. And he basically talks about how, you know, Scorsese and Peter Fonda, De Palma, all these like directors and whatnot, everybody from the 70s, like just turned the movie business upside down. And that was the turning point in Hollywood. And this book says that no, it actually happened much sooner. And it had, it's all about the five best picture nominees of that year and sort of the development of them and the behind the scenes stuff and all of that and how it was really, you know, one of the most, multicultural, diverse years. I believe it was 67. It was, the movies were In the Heat of the Night.
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, Sidney Poitier, which was, They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It was The Graduate.
Sure.
It was Bonnie and Clyde with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. And it was Dr. Doolittle.
And Jerry Lewis, right?
Jerry Lewis, which at the time, and really it was this big turning point because we were coming out of, you know, we kind of talked about last time about studio pictures where basically all the movies that were big then were John Wayne Westerns, musicals, and like really bad romantic comedies and sequels and reboots and remakes, right? And it's like, it's really easy to sort of, I don't remember how I found this book. It's been something I've been wanting to read for a while, but it just, in the conversation we had last week and sort of the dialogue that is kind of going on about how, you know, there's one side of, I would say the film going world that feels like it's just, again, right now we're in a world of superhero movies and sequels and reboots and remakes and this and that. And they just don't make movies like they used to, right? It's sort of the same shit they're talking about in this book in 1967 or whatever. And so it's been really interesting hearing just sort of the making of it. I've never seen Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen In the Heat of the Night.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, you don't have
to. I'm good. I'm good on that one.
There was probably another movie from that year that probably would have been served to be in that list.
Well, there's a whole thing where there's this whole, I haven't gotten to it yet, but in the intro of the book, there's this whole thing about how like all of the different contenders were sort of like, openly and publicly just like, no, we're better than you, or no, we're more real, or we're more legit, or we're in fucking Dr. Doolittle just spent a ton of money because it's the studio system spending a ton of money to buy its way into the Oscars, and just all this like behind the scenes Hollywood shit that I'm always really into. But Amber and I, we're going to watch Bonnie and Clyde. We're going to watch In the Heat of the Night. We're going to watch Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which I've seen that one before. And we're going to watch The Graduate.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, those are four really, I think that's a good, those are good.
I haven't seen Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
That's Sidney Poitier.
And I haven't seen Dr. Doolittle, but the other three I did see, and they're all very, very good and hold up. And I think I'm sort of like you too, where when it comes to movies is that like, I haven't necessarily seen everything. But I did there was a period of time when I was really into the history of movies and, you know, especially being a fan of directors like Tarantino and Scorsese and Wes Anderson and Aronofsky and Nolan, like reading about the movies and directors that influenced them really kind of like inspired me to go and see a lot of that kind of stuff, you know? And so there was a good period of time where I was like just watching these movies that were legendary, you know, like watching Bullet or Chinatown or The French Connection, or, you know, seeking out some of the old Hong Kong action movies and stuff like that. And I love all that stuff. And so I'll try and revisit it every once in a while. I mean, like Chinatown, for example, is a movie that
love that movie.
I probably watch that like once a year at least.
Love that movie.
Man, it's just, and look, there's a lot of stuff. This is actually interesting because there's a lot of stuff when it comes to old Hollywood that if you get caught up in the sort of behind the scenes of stuff and, you know, the personalities behind the makings of movies, it's easy to write them off, right? Like, it's easy to be like, Roman Polanski is a piece of shit. He is. And to be like, I'm not going to support those movies. That's totally your prerogative. But to not take in a work of art like Rosemary's Baby or Chinatown because of that, you're sort of missing out on an important piece of like how movies got to be where they are today, you know? And so I try to appreciate them. And I understand that not everybody can separate art from the artist, and that's fair. I would never ask anybody to do that. If you can, though, I think that if you haven't seen any of those old movies, I think it does behoove people to try to kind of seek out a lot of these sort of like cultural revolutionary movies, you know, like Easy Rider or Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde is a great example of that. So that's cool, man. I'm glad you're enjoying that. I can't wait to hear some more about it after you finish it.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped. I've seen every movie you've listed. I've pretty much seen. I've never gotten into the Hong Kong world or anything. But so like right now, I'm basically just trying to be.
Like you never got into any of that John Woo stuff, like before he came to America?
No, I've never really gotten into any of it. Like the Replacement Killers, right?
I would say The Killer and Hard Boiled are like mandatory watching if you can.
No, like I find I had a young, I had a friend that like I would, his parents were divorced and his dad was a news reporter up in San Francisco. And I would go with him on the weekends that his dad had him up to San Francisco. And the thing his dad loved to do and introduce us to were like all the Jackie Chan movies. So like that was sort of the extent of my foreign movie going growing up. I never really, unless I like heard a director talk about a movie or something for the most part, or I saw it in class, I never really, mm-hmm. you know, I would learn about some of the stuff and like have factoids about them, but like I never mm-hmm. actually sat down and watched them. So I'm in a mood right now where I'm really sort of going backwards and really wanting to just see some stuff I've known about for a long time that I've never actually just sat down and made the time to watch.
Yeah, I actually mentioned this off stream after our last episode to you guys that I do want to tell the audience about is our listeners is I watched a movie called City on Fire recently, which was the inspiration for Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs. And it's starring a young Chow Yun-fat. And it's very similar to story. It's like a group of robbers. One guy is an undercover cop. And you know, it's kind of the same movie, but there are some big differences. But it is really awesome as a big fan of Reservoir Dogs to see that DNA, right? Like to see straight up scenes that Tarantino like took from the movie and put into his. Reservoir Dogs is better. Like there's no doubt about it. It's a much better movie. But I love that kind of stuff. And so I think it's just cool. And Hard Boiled is a kick-ass movie, dude. Like it's just action packed nonstop head to toe. And it's like, it was John Woo before he went like full nutso with like, I love Face Off. You know what I mean? Like
he's fucking terrible, but I love it.
I'd defend that one to my death. I love it. I'll always love it. And it's John Woo. It's like, dude, John Woo. Like, I won't defend Mission Impossible 2.
Oh,
can't do it. But
I fuck with Mission Impossible 1, but that's not John Woo.
No. Mission Impossible 1 is great, but no, John Woo did Mission Impossible 2, and it's not
cash and checks.
Not up to par. He got them pigeons though.
He did.
Or the doves
and the double guns.
The doves.
Yeah, the white pigeons. And the white pigeons, and the guns.
So yeah, man. Hey, I'm excited to for your journey. And if you see, we should have conversations about the things that you're watching, so that even if it's off the show,
No, that is also part of the intent of this. So
now I do have a quick question, because this is all going to circle back to the Criterion Channel. Mm-hmm. I know that some of those things are on HBO Max.
Yeah. Some of them are.
Because I think HBO Max has like a Criterion section.
They do.
Kinda, right?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the Criterion Channel is a separate thing that has like a more in-depth.
Yeah, but it's also curated and it's got monthly things and like director things. And there's like a series in there. I was poking around it. I didn't buy it. But I think the Daily Show, former Daily Show correspondent, Wyatt Cenac, he's on an episode that's like, they interview people and talk about movies that inspire them and stuff that they love that are maybe not movies that are on the mainstream conscious, if that makes sense. Yeah, so
that sounds cool.
I'm just sort of interested in sort of exploring some other things and that's where we're going. So, but hey, Cisco.
Yo.
Why don't we talk about some movie news? Hey, Cisco.
Hey, Steve-o.
You want to talk about some movie news?
Let's do it, baby.
Guess what? I'm not going to talk about movie news right off the bat. Are you a Daft Punk fan? let me just put it this way. They did the soundtrack for a movie called Tron Legacy. So that's how we'll loop it into a movie. Are you a big Daft Punk fan?
I wouldn't call myself a big Daft Punk fan, but I do appreciate them.
So you're not
like,
did you,
that's not their song.
Did you ever, what is it? Around the world, around the, that's them, right?
Is that Daft Punk? I don't know if that's Daft Punk.
Oh, fuck. Why am I even talking about them? Yeah, I'm the biggest.
I can't remember.
I am the biggest Daft Punk fan, guys. Like, you have no idea. Anyways, Daft Punk broke up.
Yep.
They went out on their own terms.
Rest in peace.
They released a 7-minute video that is basically the two of the robots walking in the desert. Mm-hmm. And then one sets a timer. And then one blows up. And then one just keeps walking. And that's it.
My favorite tweet about this was, the reunion album in 5 years is about to be lit. And he was not wrong.
So I take it did you ever see them live?
No, but I've watched a lot of their videos and stuff like that. And again, I think that the whole idea of them with the robotic personas and their helmets and stuff are really cool. I own a vinyl collection that Bait did with this artist, Kidokio, from a number of years ago, where they did both of the characters as these vinyl toys or vinyl statues. And so, you know, I do definitely have an appreciation for Daft Punk and I do like some of their stuff. I'm not like the biggest fan, but I think that they are a big moment. And I know that a lot of people love them. So, you know, I'm sure that's sad news for them.
Well, yeah, it's quite the bummer. But anyhow, hey, Gina Carano was on the what's that fucking guy's name?
Ben Shapiro,
all about how she was done dirty. You want to hear about that?
Hell, motherfucking nah.
Moving the fuck on. Spider-Man 3 has officially been titled after a social media campaign all week of fake titles. the final title is Spider-Man No Way Home. How do we feel?
I like it. And I also really enjoyed the deeks that they were throwing out there. It was Spider-Man Home Slice, I think was one of them, right? That was Zendaya's, I think. They had some funny ones.
They were pretty fucking silly.
And then everybody's got their version of it. So I think they're super funny. I like that these three, and especially Tom Holland, Zendaya, and the actor who plays Ned, I can't remember his name, but
we got Spider-Man Phone Home, Spider-Man Home Wrecker, right? Spider-Man Home Slice.
Yeah. I just love that they are having fun with it so as much as they are, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. You know, that when they actually did the revelation of the name today, the video that they released today, I thought was really cool. They're just like, he's like, well, I don't understand, man. Like, he's like, what do you mean you don't get it? You're like, you spoil everything. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't spoil anything. Dude, Tom Holland.
That's Tom Holland's bit right now while he's out there promoting
right.
the Daisy Ridley movie. That forgive
and Cherry
me.
2, right?
And Cherry 2. The big thing is that's his bit on all the shows right now and all the interviews is jokes like that because they're all – I think there was a Jimmy Fallon or something that was trying to get him to confirm that Toby and Andrew are – Toby Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going to be in what's it called? And he's like, they're not in it. Like, and if they are, they sure haven't told me and I've read the script from front to back, but they're not in it. So, you know, right. You know, who fucking knows? I enjoy these movies. Apparently, it's also Tom Holland's his contract's up after this third one. Apparently,
yeah, I think that's true, and I think it's also the last one that is part of the deal that
part
Sony
of the
has
deal with Sony and Disney. But
right,
come on,
they gotta figure
come
that
on,
out.
Like come on, they're gonna
They struck gold with Tom Holland, man. I mean, he's so good as Peter. And I think Zendaya is awesome too. That whole cast is great.
They're all great. They're all great. Yeah. I'm going, there's no Tom Rothman. Come on, dude. Like he's the executive over it at Sony. Like, come on, bud. Like you can't, like you, I'm sorry, but I don't consider them as the ones that managed Spider-Verse. Like Spider-Verse was a very special thing that happened that has opened a fucking door for the entire industry, but also saved your ass, Sony. At the same time, I'm sorry, you have proven time and time again, you do not know how to manage your live action superhero franchises. Stop it. Like, sign the paper, tell fucking Uncle Bobby that like, hey, let's just put out Spider-Man as long as we want and just stop dicking around, Tom Rothman.
Yep.
Sign the fucking contract. Speaking of Marvel, Kevin Feige is trending today, and this touches back to what you said earlier in regards to Iron Fist. Kevin Feige, you know, has responded to claims that previous Marvel shows are not as successful as his Disney Plus shows. He says, I think there are legions of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans and Daredevil fans and Jessica Jones fans and Luke Cage fans and... doesn't say anything about Iron Fist and says that fans that would disagree with you. It sounds to me like you don't disagree.
Oh, I do not disagree with Kevin Feige at all. I think that, there has been one Marvel Disney Plus show and it's very good.
Everyone just cool your, you know, cool it.
Let's chill the fuck out because I didn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I know that there are a lot of people who love that show. I personally think that Daredevil, Punisher, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones are all awesome. So it's a little short-sighted. That being said, I don't like Iron Fist, but that has more to do with Finn Jones than anybody else. I think that he's just badly cast. You know, not against anything against him as an actor or a person. I just don't think that he fits the character very well. And I don't think that he can pull off the fight choreography at all. He doesn't look like he's lifted a weight in his entire life.
Right.
So, you know, that was a bummer for that show because I do want that to be cool. But, you know, whatever. Fuck it. If they recast it, they recast it. And I don't know what they're going to do with those characters. I hope that... I hope that whatever they end up doing is good because I would like to see Jessica Jones again. I would like to see Charlie Cox as Daredevil again. I thought that those were in Bernthal as Punisher, obviously. And God damn it, what's the dude's name that played Luke Cage? I always forget his name. I thought he was very good too. And obviously Rosario too. Let her live in both worlds. Let her live in Star Wars and Marvel universe.
She wouldn't be the first and she certainly won't be the last. Right. You know, I don't know if we ever talked about it, but you know, Oscar Isaac's all set to be Moon Knight.
Oh, that's exciting.
Ethan Hawke signed on to do that, and he just was talking shit about comic book movies not too long ago. Kevin Feige admitted that there are still no plans to explore R-rated content for the MCU other than Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool 3. So don't plan on the Mahershala Ali Blade movie. Don't plan on that being R-rated, ladies and gentlemen. Does that upset you?
I don't know that it upsets me, but I mean, it's like, come on, man, just do it. It's okay. We're all adults here, man, and they don't all have to be on Disney Plus, you know? I just got to get moving on that Hulu thing or whatever they're going to end up doing with their adult content, because, you know, they have a lot of properties that they own that I want to watch.
In due time. In due time.
Yeah, so, you know, again, it doesn't bum me out per se, but, you know, I would like to see Blade be an R-rated movie because it's so good as an R-rated violent movie.
Right. Right. Well, it's funny because I was speaking about in a future episode about this actor known as Wesley Snipes. I mentioned that I read an article today, and in the article, it's an interview with Wesley, and you know, Wesley very gentlemanly, but also pouring tea, on Marvel, or some shade Marvel's way, basically talking about how he is, you know, he wishes Mahershala nothing but the best and that he's a great actor. He has nothing to do with it. However, Wesley's now a black belt. And when he did the last Blade movies, he was a white belt. And he's got some stuff on the coming down the pipeline that is going to make Blade look weak, because now he's got that black belt combined with the budgets and effects that Marvel has for their movies. And so it's going to kick Blade's ass, basically.
Ooh. Are we talking the Art of War reboot?
Because I could go for that. Ooh, that's a good movie. That's a good movie. I forgot about that movie.
I like Art of War.
I don't know, but, you know, like we said in the last episode, Wesley, I love Wesley, you know?
I think so. It's a shame. I think that if you're doing a Blade movie, you should bring back Wesley in some way. Even if he just is a really small role in it, like, come on, man. We wouldn't even have any of these movies if it wasn't for that movie.
I think it is often overshadowed by, you know, Batman Begins and X-Men 1 and X-2. I think it's often overshadowed, but I agree with you. We just rewatched the first one not long ago. It's great.
Yeah.
It's holds great. Up. It's great. Speaking of time, speaking of going to the movies, the big news this week is New York City movie theaters can finally reopen. But the question is, will people return? They're allowed to open. Let's see here. We don't expect them to reopen until about April 2nd. They are planning to only run at 25% capacity or 50 people per auditorium, which means it's still nearly impossible to make any money.
Right.
At the box office, they can't operate profitably, but they are planning on reopening. And I'm curious, what do you think about that? And when do you think that maybe it'll happen here? I know this is the one story Alex would just love to be talking about right now.
Right.
I know that I'm this number one thing I miss is going to the movies and going to a movie theater, but I don't know that I feel I'm comfortable going to a movie theater right this second, even at 25% mm-hmm. capacity in a dark room with mm-hmm. recircled air. But what do you think?
I mean, obviously it was going to happen eventually. So I didn't necessarily think it was going to happen this soon. April's pretty soon. It's coming up pretty quick here.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if I could get vaccinated, that the possibility of going would be much higher for me.
Right.
So
I would agree. That being said,
I think that once vaccinations have sort of like reached a level where more people are getting them, or they're more available for people, then the me considering it thing is going to be a much more likely opportunity, I think. So I want to go watch the movie in the theaters. I want Black Widow to come out finally. God, man.
Mission Impossible 7, Quiet Place, Part 2, Maverick.
Maverick. Ugh.
Right? Fast 9?
All of them.
Just right? Watch all of them. Right? I feel like we've been talking about this for over a year now. Yeah. I know that if Alex lived in New York, he'd be in the movie theater right now if it was open.
Yep. he'd be lining up. He'd be in that lineup like it was a pair of Yeezys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Get me in that lineup. I'll be the first one in.
Are you going to watch this? I know it's really easy to shit on this, but there's been a bunch of articles that have come out this week, and Zack Snyder actually did a full-on interview with our buddy Anthony Breznican over at Vanity Fair. You know, the news that came out, you know, we've got the Snyder Cut is actually coming out here any day now on HBO Max. And it sort of tells the history of what happened. You know, his daughter, I think her name's Autumn, I believe committed suicide. And you know, he still had about 2 months or so left to finish up Justice League at the time. At the time, Batman versus Superman came out, and Warner Brothers wasn't happy with the reaction to it, even though he was originally tapped to, you know, spearhead the DCEU, combined with the untimely, you know, his daughter's death. And then they brought in Josh Whedon to just help out with some rewrites, and Jeff Johns, one of the DC executives and whatnot. Warner Brothers sent them out to be on set to sort of watch over him while he was doing it. And eventually he was just between grief and dealing with that and whatnot. He finally just was like, I don't have the fight in me anymore. And he basically left the Disney lot with his laptop on a hard drive. And on the hard drive was his current 4-hour version of his unedited, unfinished, no special effects, no real music of his Justice League that apparently whenever friends would come over or whatever, he would show if they wanted to. I can't imagine watching, no offense, I can't imagine watching 4 hours of that movie fully edited with effects and music, let alone that version of it. But apparently, it's no secret and whatnot. Like, basically, you know, it's obvious that, you know, there was a race between, you know, what Marvel had been doing and DC wanting to catch up to that, because for so long DC was the mantle, right? They had the Burton's Batman, and then that kind of whatever, but then they swooped back up with Batman Begins and then Dark Knight, holy shit, and like that whole thing, to then, you know, it's definitely thematically and visually totally different, right, with Marvel and DC, because you have Marvel, which is more of people learning to accept their powers and use them for good. Whereas I would say in this version of the DCU, it's almost like their powers are a curse or haunt them. But at the same time, you're dealing with gods, right? And monsters. And it's way more mythical, it feels like. And I think that, you know, Marvel was such a success, and DC, it just didn't, they weren't, Warner Brothers wasn't happy with what Zack's vision of it was, I think. And, you know, yeah, maybe they overstepped and whatnot. But anyhow, are you at all interested in checking out this fucking movie? Are you going to watch it? Do you have any thoughts about this whole fucking insane arc that we have gone through, from him being fired and all of that, to then the creation of the Snyder Cut hashtag and that whole fucking world, and just sort of how we all got to this point? Like, you have any thoughts about it all?
Yeah. I mean, I have a ton of thoughts. but to answer your first question, I don't intend on watching the Snyder Cut. 4 hours is just ridiculous. And I can't imagine that it's good.
Well, can you imagine that they called him up and was like, we're sorry and whatnot, like, let's just release what's on your hard drive? And he was like, absolutely. He said to Breznican, fuck no. He's like, are you kidding me? He was like, so that you guys can get the views on your fucking platform, look like you're being sympathetic to me, and then be like, see, it was a fucking piece of shit, guys.
Right.
Fuck no.
Yeah, and you know, it when you look at it from that perspective, that he's not wrong. You know what I mean? Because it was an unfinished movie. So, of course, that is the correct response. If they were going to do his version of the movie, then they had to let him finish it his way. Now, is his way, quote unquote, now, what, 3 years, 4 years after the movie actually came out and, you know, they got to see all of the discourse that happened around it? Are we going to get the same version of what he would have done originally had nothing changed? I don't think so.
No, they fucking shot scenes with Jared Leto as right. Joker.
So this is not what his intention was going to be. This is a new movie. And I don't think that that qualifies as a quote unquote Snyder cut. I mean, I think that this is a new movie basically. And look, Batman vs. Superman was the Snyder cut, and that's a bad movie in my opinion. Let me take that back. Batman vs. Superman is what the movie that Zack Snyder wanted to make, and I did not enjoy it. I watched the regular version, and I watched the director's cut. I did not like either version at all.
Did you like Man of Steel? There
was nothing about it. Man of Steel I kind of am okay with. I don't hate it, but...
It's just like... I don't hate it. He just, like, and I have friends that love it, and I probably have said this on the show. It just, like, all of his movies, even, like, I know that people love Watchmen, but even Watchmen felt like such a fucking slog to get through. Yeah, and at times, I mean, Man of Steel feels like that, where it's just like, get on with it.
See, I don't ever feel that way, but I do just, I wasn't taken with the direction that he chose to go with Clark/Superman. That's just my take on it. I also think that the DC universe has I've said this before, but I think that they have a major villain problem, and they killed off the one interesting villain in that movie. Zod was the only interesting villain in any of these DC movies, in my opinion. None of them are interesting or have any kind of agency or anything to them, and they're just all generic and boring and CG and ridiculous. Yeah, but Zod had some nuance to him, had some stuff that you could build on, and then they killed him. And then they made it worse by turning him into Doomsday. So that was his choice. You know, that was the movie that he wanted to make.
And apparently, another thing that came out this week was his choice was that Bruce and Lois were going to fall in love after Superman died.
That's bad.
And then Bruce was going to then give up because the only way to save the world was to bring Superman back to life, which meant he would never be able to have Lois. I don't understand. I get reinvention and I get sort of wanting to do something different, but that just is... Like that, you know what I hear when I hear that? And these are the days of our lives. Like, it just sounds like a goddamn soap opera that's just like, what?
Right. And it just feels like not really paying the respect to characters the way that they should. You know, that's part of the reason why people love the Marvel movies so much, is because there is a respect for the characters. You know what I mean? Like, no matter the changes that they make to Spider-Man, for instance,
that is core.
The essence of the character remains the same. And so when they make too many changes to that, it falls flat. A perfect example is the Amazing Spider-Man movies. I mean, there's nothing against Andrew Garfield as an actor, but like their take on Peter is not in line with what people like about that character. And those movies didn't work because of that. So I think that the success to making these characters resonate with people isn't that complicated, because there's already a format where they do that, right? So like they have this, existing library of thousands of issues of a property that they're taking, there's something there that they can pull and turn into something that general audiences would like. Dude, I know Richard Donner's Superman is old and dated, and obviously it doesn't stand up to today's standards, but the core of that character is more in line with what people like about Superman than the what we ever got from Henry Cavill. This is the reason why people are starting to really attach themselves to this Superman and Lois show.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's really like good. I'm hearing like a lot of people are like, I was expecting the CW Arrowverse thing, and it's not that, and it's actually really interesting. I don't know the angle on it, but everyone's right. Really into it.
I haven't watched it either, and I think there's only been one episode, but it seems like people's responses are really strong to it.
Right.
And I can say just from a visual perspective, just looking at him, he looks like what I want from a Superman.
I liked Brandon Routh as a Superman.
I did too. And, you know, listen, we can say whatever about Bryan Singer, and that movie's not great either, and Kevin Spacey, but Brandon Routh as Superman looks like what I think of as
Superman. But he acted like Superman. He talked like Superman. The words that were coming out of his mouth were like Superman.
Right. And I get that I am biased because I love Christopher Reeves as Superman.
But those Donner movies were like, you don't get where we're like, you don't get the Marvel movies. You don't get any of this shit today if it wasn't for the Donner movies.
Sure.
Like you just don't.
Yeah. So, you know, listen, I know that there are people who, I think that there are people who genuinely enjoyed Snyder's vision from Man of Steel to Batman versus Superman. And, you know, I'm not here to shit on their opinions. So, you know, everybody like what you like, it's fine. And I hope that you enjoy this movie. I hope that, you know, he gives something that you were hoping for.
Some closure.
Yeah. But my one big thought is that I do not like the precedent that this could set, right? Which is like
the succumbing,
giving in to mob. Yeah. Giving into the mob mentality. And like, you know, I think that although there are people genuinely who were disappointed by Zach not being able to finish his version of it, I think there was also a more insidious troll-like environment that got built around that didn't necessarily fall into that room. They just fell into the like, we want to troll people and we want to, you know, build this like anti movement. And that is the part that concerns me and that I don't like, you know? So I don't know, I guess we'll see what happens, but you know, if there's any talk of like, oh, well let David Ayer do his version of the Ayer cut of Suicide Squad, it's like, nah, man, that movie's bad too. Like, we don't need to see David Ayer's version of that movie. We saw it, kind of.
I mean, I agree with you, and I was going to be like, hands down, 100%, but then I'm also the same asshole that's over here every week screaming for, give me the Lord and Miller cut. Give me the Lord and Miller cut.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm not trolling people and threatening them with their lives, yeah. But like...
But the other part of that is Lord and Miller never got to that point.
Right.
You know, they never got to a far enough point to be able to do that. And, you know, I know you guys feel that way about Solo, but you guys like Solo.
No, for sure.
You like Solo.
For sure. So I just see my whole thing is I just see their other stuff that they've done and I'm like, fuck, I want to see what they would have done.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
You know, but I agree with you 100% on the mob. Like, don't succumb to the mob mentality. Let's move on. Because people spoke with their money. People spoke with their dollars because the Justice League movie made like nothing compared to like Avengers.
Right.
Which I know that's unfair too, because most movies make nothing compared to Avengers, but.
For sure. And I think, listen, we can also, I think, honestly say that part of this is that Warner Brothers and DC don't have the slightest fucking clue what they're doing when it comes to making their movies. They just don't.
No.
We'll see what happens with this James Gunn Suicide Squad movie. I hope it's good. I have faith in him.
I have faith in him. I don't have faith in unfortunately, in Warner's.
I really don't.
Especially with their current corporate sort of structure of how they're handling movie making right now.
Yeah, I just think that there's no, you know, I think that there's a reason why, I know we joke about it a lot, and but there is something to the fact that the way that Feige and Marvel run their ship is conducive to making movies that people like for the most part. They're not all going to be winners, but the batting average is pretty high.
Oh, they're doing great.
They're doing great. And I think that they're set up strong for the future, you know? And I think that in order to do that, you have to have someone or a group of people who respect the material and aren't just looking at it from a sort of like dollars and cents and analytics perspective. They have to have a creative vision that is cohesive and unified and strong enough to carry a universe. And if not, you can just do isolated things like the Nolanverse, right? That's, I mean, those movies work on their own because he was able to do what he wanted to do. But if you start meddling too much from people who don't have a creative bone in their body, which I think is what Warner Brothers is doing too much at this point.
They got caught chasing their own tail.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
So in a way, this is sort of like the perfect storm of what would happen when like a corporation has no idea what they're doing. So they'll just be like, okay, fine, let's give them what they want. You know?
Well, yeah.
So like, I hope that we don't ever get to the point where Disney is like, oh God, we've heard so much of these people shitting, talking shit about the sequel trilogy. Let's just remake it. Like, if we ever get to that point, I'm going to be really, really disappointed.
I tell you what, I'm probably going to at that point just be completely buried over in the Criterion Collection watching like French New Wave cinema.
It's going to be a hard no from me, dog. And I'm going to be like, I don't know what you guys are doing, man. But, you know, that's the thing that scares me is that things like this sort of empower people like the Phantom Menace, right? That are going to be like, ooh, look at what they got. Let's see what we can get.
Sure. But I also think what it's going to do is you're going to have, look, it's going to do really well in its run, I believe, on HBO Max. I think that it's the perfect scenario for this exact, it's the perfect cocktail, right? You've got people stuck at home wanting to watch something new. You've got all this drama that's played out over the last couple of years behind the scenes on this fucking movie. They're breaking it up into like, I don't know how many fucking different hour long parts on their service.
I don't think they're doing that.
No,
I think it's one for.
No, it's broken up. I believe has been.
Oh, I thought confirmed. The last thing I read was said that it was just going to be one 4 hour thing.
Hold on. I could be wrong. Second.
If they release it as like 1 hour things, that's real dumb.
Yeah, it's 4 hours. I don't know. I can't filter through this bullshit right now. But I think that, look, it's going to end up getting a lot of eyeballs because of the current situation. And I think that it's a calculated cash grab by Warner's. And you're going to have the weirdo fucking not weird, but the crazed, violent asshole Snyder cut fans that are out there, you know, basically take over the internet for a day until Marvel comes and like, or the latest episode of WandaVision comes and just crushes fucking, you know, causes fucking Disney Plus to crash, you know, on its like sixth or seventh episode, not just its first episode, but like its sixth or seventh episode. And this is coming from someone who's not like flying a big Marvel flag. So I don't,
you're getting there.
I don't,
you're coming over.
Yeah, for sure. But, I just think it's a cash grab. I think everyone's going to be a winner for a weekend. If it's only for, you know, if it's all at once in 4 hours, or if it's cut up into fucking four episodes or whatever, those 4 weekends, they'll be winners and that'll be it. And everyone will get to celebrate and move on. Zach will be a winner. The fan base will have won from getting it successfully happening. And Warner's will be a winner for getting X amount of views on their fucking streaming service. So well played, yeah, Warner Brothers, but like, let's fucking figure out your shit moving forward when we can all go to the movies. Cause let's all go to the movies. Cisco, where can the people at home find you?
They can find me at Cisco Kid with 2D77 on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning. And you can check out all of my terrible takes about the DCEU. Just kidding. On Letterboxd. We are the Black... Oh, I'm losing my voice. I can't do this. I don't know how Alex does it. We're the Black Series Rebels. That's it for this show. We'll see you next time. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, man. Evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.